Hear that? Believe it or not, summer is just around the corner. Luckily, Armor All, America's most trusted auto appearance brand, has what your car needs to get that perfect summer shine. Plus, now through May 31st, we'll give you $5 for every $20 you spend on Armor All products. That means car wash pods, protectant, tire shine, you name it. Find out how to get your $5 rebate at ArmorAll.com. Armor All. Less work, more clean. Terms apply.
What it is?
This is
the Macho Man Randy Savage.
And this is
Hard Factor. And there is no one that does it better.
Right now, yeah.
Nobody does it better.
I ain't repeating myself. Go ahead, tell me something right now.
Yeah, and I'm living in a nightmare.
And I'm not a racist. And I'm always cheering. Oh, yeah.
Episode 1446 of Hard Factor. It is Tuesday, April 23rd, 2024. Thank you for cheating on the news with us. 80% accuracy guaranteed on this podcast. Everything you need to know in 40 minutes or less. But if you need more, go to patreon.com/hardfactor. Today, we've got samurai swords, car fires, and snakes. Not necessarily in that order, a classic combo nonetheless.
Yeah, we have all that for you. And probably
got it.
Significantly more things that we don't even know we're going to bring you because sometimes we
more
just say
more than that.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah, right. Like I wasn't going to talk about this, but Tequila Flats filed for bankruptcy. Whoops, that's wow. New.
Didn't even know we were going to talk about that.
Didn't Tequila even know
Tequila Flats,
a thing.
The world renowned.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, their profits flattened out.
What's Tequila Flats? What's
Tequila Flats? Have a drink for Tequila Flats.
It's like a chainy Tex-Mex. You don't know about it, Willie, because we spent our formative years in the Tex-Mex capital of one of the Tex-Mex capitals of the world where you don't go to Tequila Flats.
Oh. Right. It's like a Rio Grande or any of those like chain.
On the border?
Iron Cactus.
Yeah.
On the border. It's like on the border. Yeah.
It's like a fun on the border.
Yeah.
On the border can be great. Yeah. It just depends on which one probably. You know.
It's like a trashier on the border. It's on the border of being. It's on the border of being too trashy, which is probably why.
It's Chili's adjacent, right?
Yeah.
It's like,
but I feel like you have the word tequila in the name, so there's a certain expectation if you're a patron that things are going to get wild.
Yeah.
No, it's true. I mean, they don't have like drink. They don't cut you off and stuff like that.
No, it's true.
Yeah.
And there's been a bunch of guys that have said, you know, they should. You know, when you look at the waitresses here and then you think about the name of this place, they should be calling it Tequila Buxoms.
Yeah, exactly. And the patrons, a lot of fake boobs and big boobs in there. It's an ironic name. Yeah.
Nice. Have you guys been?
I don't know I need to go to Mexico when I
have you been to a Tequila Flats?
I think I've been to a Tequila Flats. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Never been.
Yeah.
Lucky you, Mark. I'm sad I missed it.
Yeah. Well, you'll never go.
No, I mean, a lot of restaurants, you know, like being bankrupt doesn't mean you're gone. It just means that you're not a good business.
What it's a new
mean?
Phase. Right.
Let's see. Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Is this? Oh, that's Tortilla Flats. That's not right.
Oh, that's different. Tortilla Flats.
Tortilla Flats still is around.
Tequila Flats we're talking about.
Also, Tortilla Flats looks fun. They just got people hula hooping in there. Around people eating and drinking, just not even people that work there. Just
maybe that's what Tequila Flats is missing. Did they have hula hoops, Pat? Is that
I don't know. Part of their deal? But like Tortilla Flats is a pretty dumb name because tortillas are flat.
Yeah, it's like redundant. You're saying
that's what I'm saying to you.
Yeah. All right. Fair enough.
Yeah. Well, this show can go anywhere. So there you. This is an example.
We just talked about tortilla and Tequila Flats for 3 minutes.
The live chat's pumped. They're loving it.
Let's go.
Let's go.
Let's go.
From go.
All right. I got a couple of feel-good stories for you today. That's right. Let's keep it positive. We could talk about how both wars are going on full steam ahead and how more children were killed in another attack on Gaza yesterday. and how multiple Ivy League schools are just protesting the absolute bejesus out of Israel, leading to arrests at Yale and Columbia being shut down completely and going full remote classes, and how Bob Kraft, the Patriots owner and Columbia's biggest donor, says he no longer recognizes them as a university and will never donate to them again, obviously. I don't know how the parties are throwing money at pro-Israeli candidates to replace progressives this election. We could do that. We could talk about the $600 gazillion bill the House passed, I think we did yesterday, in aid to mostly Ukraine, and how Rishi Sunak, Prime Minister of the UK, wanted a pat on the back from Ukraine over a measly $500 million donation that he's offering in aid. Wow. Thanks. That's, thanks a lot.
What's 61 times 2? 120
times less.
Yeah, it's a lot. Yeah, exactly. Well, yeah, exactly.
He gave about 0.7% of what the U.S. is giving. Thanks a lot for making us pay so much, Ricky, you fucking Brits. But we aren't going to talk about that. We're going to talk about some positive stuff. All right.
Cool. I see what you did there, Mark. You covered a lot of ground, right, without really covering it.
Yeah. I mean, I just want to let you know we're aware of it. Maybe now you're aware of it, but we don't need to get in the weeds on that bullshit.
It sound like a bunch of bullshit, Mark. I'm not gonna lie.
A whole load of crap.
That was all of it. Glad you're skipping it. Yep.
How about
hard
this?
Factor difference. So.
How about this? How about an amazing rescue? I believe it happened in St. Paul, Minnesota, for sure, Minnesota on I-4 a few days ago. This is one of those feel good about humanity stories, like, hey, maybe we've got a shot. Maybe we'll be all right. Because people are mostly good, and these Minnesotans, civilians are great. They are great people. Watch this rescue off of I-4 of a man from his burning car. I guess this guy somehow drove off the road, and then you'll see he ended up on the other side of the barrier somehow, and then he hit a light pole and pretty much should have died, but this happened.
Okay. Oh my God, dude. They must be burning their hands.
Yeah.
That car is fully on fire with the flames just blowing in the wind towards the people that are
so
wrenching
many
the doors open. Like,
it's nerve wracking.
Human jaws of life.
And they had to stop because they were getting their hands burnt. Now they're trying to break the glass because the guys, it's just one guy in the front seat. Finally, this guy with his vest on does break the glass and they pull this guy out in the nick of time.
Where does the guy come in with the full like flame retardant suit? Well, why isn't he first to the scene?
Luckily, he was there because he had something that finally broke the glass. Look at that.
He must have been driving by or something.
Like 2 minutes later, and the car is, look at that, completely. I mean, you're dead. You're dead.
How burned up is he now? The driver.
The driver got minor injuries. Nothing serious. No second or third degree burns. No one else got. A couple people were treated for like first degree burns, like minor injuries. Everyone's going to be completely fine. Incredible. That's awesome. Rescue.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, man. My mom and dad lived in Minnesota for a couple of years when my dad was teaching at St. Cloud State. And my mom would tell me that unlike any other place she'd ever been, they look after their own in Minnesota because it's such a harsh state in terms of the conditions.
Winters. Yeah. Harsh winters will teach you some lessons, right?
They're used to stopping.
You got to help out your people that aren't physically able to. Maybe they're new to the harsh environment. It's I-94, by the way. I'm sorry.
I'd like to see a robot like try and do that, help. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
Which Pretty state cool. has the best humans? Is it Minnesota?
I think every state has shitty humans, but Minnesota has the most actively willing to help humans, I'd say.
Enter this into evidence for Minnesota, right? This video right here.
It speaks volumes, yeah. It's
big. Yeah. Which state has the worst humans?
I mean, places where people party all the time.
On three. One, two, three. Florida.
Yeah, probably Florida and California. California.
Okay. Both of them. Yeah, like vacation areas.
Let me turn this down. Look, this is a closer angle. I mean, these guys got in there. Ouch, my hands hurt. And look how stupid he is, because he not only went off the road and hit a light pole, which caused a huge fire, but he got as close to the damn railing as he could, so he couldn't open the door. Like, had he been like 6 inches over, look at that, boom, he got hit by a fireball.
I guess when your car is on fire, you're probably just freaking out. I would assume.
But like, he couldn't.
He wasn't thinking clearly. You know, once the flames started jumping from the hood, he was like, "Oh fuck!"
And then he just better hug this rail.
Down. Yeah. How did he not break the glass? By the way,
that's another good point.
Who's listening should have something in the car that can break the glass. I know I do. Every car should have one, so that you don't get fucking stuck like that guy. Like,
it's another strong point. He didn't help his cause whatsoever. And since he only had minor injuries and the airbag didn't deploy, didn't look like he should have at a minimum been trying to break the window, or when he like made it harder. Like if you watch it, which I have like 10 times now, like they're trying to pull him out and he's like a fish out of water. He's like, and he like slips out of their grasp.
Mark.
good point, Mark. From live commenter here.
Guy's an idiot.
Mayor, they say, I think he passed out after the crash. So that could be, maybe that's why he couldn't break his glass.
Reasonable. Yeah. But those people also looked like, I mean, they were having to wrench that door open. The door wasn't functionally working like it would pre-crash, it looked like. But I want
to
bring something up.
They had to wrench it open because look how close his damn car is to the railing. It's like, the car was pretty much fine, but look at the, I got it. How did I not rewind this? Go back, yeah. Good. So like, look, he's hugging the rail. So the bottom of the doors don't open. They would open all the way if he just moved the car.
Oh, okay, I see.
It was poor driving.
Yeah, he like basically drove into a death trap, and then eight people somehow saved him from his idiocy.
Both the driving and the not having something to break the glass, questionable from the driver there. But you're just glad that the Minnesotans were able to come up big, save his life.
Did you guys going to take care of him from now on because he's an idiot?
Go ahead. Issue with this is, did you guys catch what I'm about to bring up? There's something funky about this video.
What kind of car is it?
The push in here. Oh, it's the other one. The push in here, right? Okay, so you have the car on fire, and you have this group of people. This looks like something that would be featured in American Cinematographer magazine. Look at this. Look at that push in. That's like a perfectly smooth. It's like a Steadicam
from a car, right? Somebody driving by.
Is this is this a scene from a movie? Have we been got?
I'm just saying these could be crisis actors, okay? Because we needed some good news. Oh. I mean, dude, look how smooth that is.
You think they had the dolly on the track there with the camera? How else?
If you showed this shot to someone who
Pat, go back.
Got locked up in a cryogenic chamber like pre-iPhone.
They right, like, but it could be an iPhone out of the side of a car where somebody's just got their hand resting on the side of
Will,
a car.
Will, look at that.
Yeah.
Do you notice how the subject effect remains in focus?
It's a nice dolly effect, but you can get that from a car.
I don't know,
It's incredible camera work. I agree.
It's incredible camera work. And also, why isn't that fucker helping? The people got to stop doing that.
Well, the video is
because he got award-winning footage, Pat.
There was like 10 people helping. And so like he was just going to get in the way. He knows how to mimic a dolly effect by using his iPhone out of his truck window. You know what I mean?
Okay.
And that's his major skill that he's going to bring to this operation.
But Pat, no one got seriously hurt, and that's the best footage anyone's ever seen of anything. So
yeah, I know. And why was it like with a muted color LUT on it? I'm just saying, it's stinky. It smells.
Hey, look, maybe we're getting got, but it was a brazen crisis acting, if so, and they got him out just in time.
Oh, dangerous job for the crisis actors too. They're they had to get him out of there before the car fully set ablaze.
They were union? Because if that camera operator, if I know my cameras, that's a union camera operator, and they're not working on a show with non-union actors.
How come the guy in the car had all that flame retardant gel all over his body?
It's a great question, Mark.
No, he didn't need to.
You know who else has that? Stuntmen, stunt coordinators. Right.
Yeah, he had the stuntman gel.
I got to bring this up because I just remembered. This is amazing. So if you're watching the show, where my right arm is going, okay, right here is a window, right? A big sliding glass window. Right outside that window is a small porch area with a 5-foot fence, okay? That opens onto a street, and this little movie or TV show shooting on that street tomorrow, according to the permitting. And it could be The Bear. I don't know.
Oh,
but
baby.
If it's anything interesting, it'll be filming while we're taping the show.
Oh, that's cool.
And you better believe I'm going to be standing on my tippy toes.
Yeah.
Letting you guys in on the action.
Dude, The Bear is an awesome show.
Can we get you like a telegraphing lens before then so you can like maybe zoom in like with your phone?
100%.
You know? 100%.
Hell yeah.
See if you can Good, yeah. Good scoop.
I'm excited. If it's not The Bear, I'm going to be disappointed because there's not much better than that show. So,
I need to watch The Bear. Sounds like.
Yeah. Oh, buddy, you do. You'll enjoy 2 seasons worth. Right. So they'd be doing season 3 outside Pat's house. All right, one last quick one for good news. Bark Air. Ever heard of it?
No,
never.
Okay, Bark Box. Ever heard of it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Monthly good news. Subscription for your dog, right?
Yep. Good news for dog owners. BarkBox is starting Bark Air, and their inaugural flight, I think, is in May. And now you can fly on Bark Air with your dogs. You don't have to pretend like you have some sort of anxiety issue and you need a service dog or a helper dog or whatever. And they don't have to be in a crate. And pretty much, you see how they're 2-seaters? One's for the human, one's for the dog. And they're just going to be out and about. They got towels, they got toys. It's just going to be a Bark Air.
So you have to pay for 2 seats instead of...
I don't know if I was going to even mention the price because this is a feel-good story. So some people will be able to travel with their dogs.
Right.
How much does it cost, dog? I mean, it's a fantastic idea. I mean, it's a fantastic... We've seen billions and billions and billions of dollars made on the pet industry, right?
Yeah,
every possible penny has been squeezed out of pet owners who will spend money on their pets like their kids, and it's a real pain in the ass to fly with your dog or cat or whatever.
That's
great
right.
idea.
That's right.
What's it cost?
Prices will come down, Pat. This is the.
Well, what if it's just like is it less than 2 seats? Because you could just do this with 2 seats, like on a regular airline.
It's less than 2 seats on a private jet, maybe.
Okay.
Maybe.
Because I'm thinking I bring...
It's not about that, though, Will. It's about the camaraderie. You don't want... You might be able to bring your dog on a plane if you buy 2 seats, but the looks you're going
to
be getting...
And you don't have to put your dog in the cargo bay and it'll get burnt to a crisp and die.
If you get him the seat, you can just set him right there, bop, right next to
him. He can make friends. He or she can make friends because the dogs are allowed to kind of hang out for the price of $6,000.
Is that... Where does it say? Is it just
Right now they're just flying like New York to London, a couple places. They're like long flights, but that's $6,000-$8,000.
New York to London. Okay. That's expensive as shit as is, right? Is that reasonable?
I think a direct flight New York to London in advance is more like $1,000 to $1,500. So it's like more
than it's like that per 4x instead of 2x. Yeah.
It's like 3x per ticket, and you have to get 2 of them.
I mean, we might see Bark Air go the way of Trump Air and Hooters Air. And there's all sorts of airs that don't work. It's a hard business.
But if prices come way down and they expand and stop only flying to London, it'll be cool.
It'll be cool.
Yeah. Yeah. Fly with your pet next to you.
Good news. You know what else is cool? Bespoke box. Bespoke. You know what I'm talking about? This spring, the best box you'll open up all month is from Bespoke Post and their new seasonal lineup of must-have Box of Awesome collections. The Box of Awesome is filled with carefully chosen gear from the best small brands around the world. What did I get recently? I don't know. How about this incredible looking knife? Can you zoom in on that, Eric? Look at this thing.
Oh, sick, bro.
Oh my God.
Wow.
I don't know if Eric says Post.
Is that Damascus steel?
That's Damascus steel. It's got an incredible design on it. Someone big me up.
Oh, the things that you could cut.
Yeah. Click the big me up. Look at this thing.
The things you could cut with that.
It's got an incredible design on it. Oh my God.
How many times has it been folded by the forging master?
If that moron had left this knife in his car during the rescue, it would have been the only thing to survive.
Yeah. It definitely can resist
steel flames. Burn hot.
Yeah.
It's a nice knife. If you want to get lost in the woods, you could do worse than that knife. So whether you want to drink and eat more awesome, dress and travel more awesome, or explore more awesome, Box of Awesome has you covered this spring. To get started, take the quiz at boxofawesome.com. Your answers will help them pick the right Box of Awesome for you. It's free to join, and they release new items every month across a ton of different categories. When you become a member, you'll have access to stellar discounts. They're talking 30% off or more sometimes. Plus, with each Box of Awesome, you're supporting small businesses. 90% of everything that comes in your Box of Awesome is from a small up-and-coming brand. Again, free to sign up. Get a free mystery gift with your first monthly shipment when you sign up at boxofawesome.com and enter the code HARDFACTOR. Checkout. That's boxofawesome.com. Code HARDFACTOR for a free mystery gift with your monthly shipment. Boxofawesome.com. Code HARDFACTOR.
Hell yeah. That's great. Do you guys want to hear about snakes in Australia, or do you want just a real quick rundown on what's going on with an old man sitting in a chair?
I'd say both, Pat.
Yeah, go,
okay.
Go for it.
According to Media's Touch, and look, I'm going to say Media's Touch is about as liberal of a news organization as possible. Okay.
Right, it's like literally like a PAC-funded one.
What did you
There's
say it was
a
called?
Lot of those.
Media's Touch.
Oh.
Yeah.
It's real satisfying if you're a liberal like me, but I understand it's very left-slanted.
Conservatives have their same things. Like it's a PAC-funded news outlet, right?
More
it's
like that's fun. More like Pedo's Touch.
Yeah, that's how you should know. This should be like you should use your touch. Penis or clitoris as a barometer to see if news is slanted. Like me as a liberal, I see something on Media's Touch, I get a little chubbed up. I'm like, okay, I got it. Right. Got to investigate the source on this.
Do you think
because true?
Do you think because your cock leans left, that's why you're a liberal?
My cock
is that
right.
What decides?
I tried to get you 50-50 on that one.
I'm just saying, if you're sexually aroused by a news story, if you want to be a responsible media consumer,
instead of disgusted, you're saying by the one source.
You should.
Well,
say.
Just be aware that like a lot of those news, a lot of like the very slanted news sources are just funded by super PACs, which are, you know, part of campaigns.
You're only going to get it straight here. You're only going to get it straight at Hard Factor. That's the only place.
So I'll admit this news, this Snopes, okay, which is my favorite Snopes of all time, made me hard.
To the right.
Snopes claim during former President Donald Trump's April 2024 hush money trial in New York City, he passed gas repeatedly while his lawyers struggled with the smell. Claim unproven, okay? It's unproven.
Ooh, dude, do they have footage of the lawyers?
No, there's no cameras allowed in the courtroom.
Or like the infrared. Remember when they did that to Swalwell?
Here's a great clip talking about the Media's Touch reporters reporting from the trial.
To the court proceedings as well, Maggie Haberman reports that Donald Trump continued to fall asleep during the proceedings as well. You know, what I'm hearing from my sources as well is that, you know, and I'm hearing from credible sources who know what's going on in the courtroom.
They know farts.
And what I'm hearing is
within
that,
smelling
take it for what it's worth, but that Donald Trump is actually farting in the courtroom and that it's very stinky around him. It's putrid odor in the courtroom and that Trump's lawyers are like repulsed by the scent and the smell. And I'm not just saying that to be like, oh, funny. I'm actually, you know, we have good sources there. And I'm hearing it from actual credible people that as he's kind of falling asleep, he is actually passing gas. And that his lawyers are really struggling with the smell.
Yeah.
They go hand in hand.
He's demonstrating his dominance, I think, over the courtroom is what he's trying to do. It's like, you know, if he could have like a bucket of fried chicken and just leave the bones right in front of himself, like he would do that too, probably.
Now, it could be that. Could also be a 78-year-old man just letting it go.
You think he just can't control his bowels?
Before he sleeps, like the sleeping and farting kind of go hand in hand. But if you're like a defendant in a case that you're not real thrilled to be involved in, wouldn't you want to how come this doesn't happen more often? Can you get in trouble for farting in the courtroom?
I know that we had a buddy.
So I'd be letting him go, you know,
maybe in jail. Not. Maybe it's like a gray area.
Yeah. Who got sent to solitary for farting on someone.
But that was different.
It was his
group
jail.
Counselor in like a let's work on each other session. And he grabbed the back of his head, put it up to his butt and farted in his face.
It's a solitary.
Yeah. The rules are different. Once you're in jail. Yeah. Like that's like, yeah, you're solitary.
Anyway, I love that.
But in the courtroom, maybe farting's a gray area because it could be like a medical condition. Like, you know.
It must be bad because for reporting to go there, it's got to be. I mean, farting happens everywhere, right?
Oh, like it could not be. It could totally be
for
non-existent.
Farting to be reportable.
It could be non-existent, but it's amazing to imagine it. Yeah. I mean, it's happening just because it would be funny.
A great time to fart would be like when they ask you what you plead.
Oh, right. Yeah.
You answer with a loud fart.
You heard
Pause.
Me.
Excuse me.
Yeah. Does that answer the question?
All right, let's get to the real story of the day. It's one of those quack farts that sounds like it's asking you a question.
Yeah.
Okay, guys, it's summertime in Australia. Okay, it's the end of summer. It's the hottest period, April, and when it gets hot down in Australia, the snakes get all roiled up.
Yeah,
and that's what's been happening. The snakes are all roiled up down there.
So roiled.
And one doctor, okay, who's the head of the hospital in Queensland's Wide Bay region, has come out with a public statement because there's a serious problem, and it's not just the snake bites, right? Okay. Get bit by a snake at your own risk by living in Australia. But the hospital staff shouldn't also be subjected to a potential snake bite when trying to treat you. Okay.
Well, yeah. Are they treating them in the woods?
No, they're treating them in the hospital. And that's why Dr. Adam Michael has come out and said, for the love of God, stop bringing snakes into emergency departments.
Yeah.
If you're a snake bite victim, it's happening.
This is the snake.
It's happening all the time. Oh, I got bit, mate. Oh, catch it. Catch it before you take me. Catch it.
I got him now.
Put it in the bin, mate.
Snake bite. Can you describe the snake? I can do you one better.
I'll do you one.
Exactly. It's a big bragging point for the victim here of the snake bite. So,
well, okay. So they're doing it. Patients are bringing these snakes in because they think, right, you get super scared. And you think that if they identify the snake that bit you, they might be able to administer the proper anti-venom is their situation.
I'm gonna need this snake. I'll never...
or is it they don't trust the doctors, so they want the doctors to get bit too, and they have to use the same anti-venom on themselves as...
That's a great point. That's probably an outlier case.
Just in case I need to it's make probably the an own. Outlier case.
Now right. We're in the same boat.
Yes, Doc, just come closer, and I'll tell you, come closer. You're a bit too now.
Yeah.
Right, it's a good weapon. Get what you want at the hospital, for sure. Yeah.
Want to see the one you use on yourself? Okay, in a case earlier this month, guys, at Bundaberg Hospital in Queensland, which is 4 hours north of Brisbane, the man came in with a snake bite, and
Off Wide Bay, right, Pat?
Right,
of course.
He handed the hospital workers a small plastic food container, and inside it was a small Eastern brown snake.
Oh no!
Just peering back at them. And Dr. Michael says the snake was not very well secured and was actively trying to escape from the sandwich container.
Yeah, he's a snake. What do you expect?
Which could have been seriously dangerous. He says we can determine if you need antivenom, and if so, what antivenom you need based on a clinical signs, blood test, etc. So they don't need the snake itself. They can use a snake venom detection
kit. Not trusting that, mate. No. Yeah.
He said, we're actually not trained to identify snakes. It's not helpful. Right. Stop it. Seriously, stop it.
Yeah, we're going to need the snake for sure.
The snake makes its way to like the ICU unit when people can't move and they're just getting terrorized by a snake.
Yeah. That's what their concern is.
Yeah.
I found this tweet, guys. This is it. This is from 2022, and Josh Trebach, MD. I don't know if he's Australian or not.
It's a big problem.
He said, I can't believe this needs to be said, but if you're bit by a snake, please don't bring the snake to the ER with you. Had a lot of retweets, but apparently not enough. It sent me down a rabbit hole where I threw a little Google out there like an idiot who just was bit by a snake. If bit by a snake, should I bring the snake that bit me to the ER?
There
was lots and lots of responses, but this one I really liked. This is from Peter Osborne. It's a QR response.
Okay.
Said, I once had the unfortunate experience of having to take a friend to the hospital after he was bitten by a Tasmanian black snake. Ooh. Venomous and can cause death if not treated, but not really dangerous due to the shape of its fangs.
Okay.
Anyway,
thanks.
He continues. Peter. His friend had been tormenting this snake with a stick. So after it bit him, I bound the snake tightly and took it off for a 5 or 6 mile drive to the hospital emergency department. And the hospital knew when we arrived by the aura of shouting, moaning, and bad language surrounding us, and soon had him inside and under control. But one thing I did learn is no matter who the victim of the snake bite, all bites have the same effect. Okay. They trigger bad language. Telling the victim to shout does not work. No matter how fast you drive, not fast enough. And they'll hear you coming. You can just go right in.
So he wrote this long ass thing, spouting off snake facts just to talk shit about his loudmouth friend.
Yeah, he was bothering the Tasmanian black snake with a stick before he got bit.
And then he bound that snake to the stick. I mean, it sounds like they kind of double teamed that snake with torture.
Exactly.
Yeah.
First thing, catch it. Okay, now get the keys.
He brought snake stick into the ER?
it sounds like it.
Apparently, a lot of people get bit again when trying to catch the snake that bit them. So that's one reason.
Well, based on that review, Pat, it sounds like they're going to have a really hard time knocking out the snake collection because these guys are into it. Those guys were both into it, but upset with how each other was doing it.
Yeah.
Yeah, about 18 people that guy per 100,000 in Australia get bit every year. 3,000 snake bites, roughly 500 causing hospitalization. That's humans. Dogs suffer snake bites at twice the rate. 6,200 snake bites reported annually in Australia.
At least they know not to bring the snake in with them, the dogs, unless it's in their mouth.
Anyway, so there you have it.
Where'd you get bit? Well, originally here, but then after I tried to catch it here, and here.
You needed the snake
bite after
they're
dead,
you did.
Too. Yeah, so.
Idiots.
All right, let's move on to samurai swords, our last topic of the day. Is there any sweeter feeling than unsheathing a like extremely sharp and like beautifully shiny samurai sword?
No, you know? I'm doing it in a miniature scale right now. It's awesome.
And when you have like the big like wooden holder at its end, it's like there's like a click when you put it back in, and like when you pull it out, it's like a
yeah.
That's the blood. That's the blood finding space in the sheath.
Yeah. Well, if you pull it out bloody, it'll drip out of the sheath and too.
Well, there's not a lot of room in those sheaths. They're packed pretty tight. The blood will shoot out of there.
Yeah, that's right.
Right. So that thing's gonna slip it right off. But it's so smooth. I mean, it's just like a. It's a very it's an exhilarating experience. Sex maybe, you know, holds a candle to when the blade, you know, slips out of the holder, but it's hard to beat. So
it's like opening a new can of tennis balls, but even cooler.
Yeah. And repeatable. Right? Like
Yeah, instead of chemicals, it smells like death. Will, I've only done it in video games. I know that Florida men and women are really into doing it, right, with the Sword of the Month Club.
You've never cracked open a fresh samurai sword in your own hands? Not even like in a store to just try it out?
Yeah, but not like a real one. Like not like a sharp one, probably.
Right. Like
most of the time when someone gives you a sharp sword, they said don't take it out of the sheath. Usually,
never gone to a buddy's house and he's like, check out the samurai sword. And you didn't just crack it open.
You've been around a lot more weed dealers than me.
Okay.
Good point.
Well, anyways, you should try it if you haven't tried it. It's a little addicting. Just like opening up that samurai sword feels so powerful. But it can be a little too addicting for some. Take, for example, a local mum, Rebecca Lowe, over there in England. She's being featured in the Manchester Evening News this week because, you see, Rebecca got into a row or a dust-up. As they say over there, a fight with her neighbors in Runcorn over some dog poop. So these neighbors were walking by, the dog poops, you know, I guess in the front of, right out in front of her garden, I guess, like, you know, probably in the sidewalk there. She says she shouted at the kids to pick up their dog shite in front of her garden, you know, as she would do, because she's, I guess, hangs out there waiting for people to fuck up so she can yell at them. And then they didn't pick it up.
And they said, suck our dicks.
Pretty much. Yeah.
Suck a dick, miss.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then they argued some more about who should suck each other's dicks or who should suck whom's dicks.
Yeah.
Whom's dicks should be sucked.
Yes. Yeah, that's the one Pat thing.
Thank you, Pat. We'll get right on it after you suck our dicks.
That's wrong, too. It would be whose dicks should be sucked.
Of whom's?
This dick is out.
Of whom's? Dicks should receive the sucking.
Yeah. I should suck this dick, miss. Whom's dick is to be sucked?
That's pretty much what they were arguing about, I think, out in the front of the garden there and the dog poop. So then they left, right? The kids who wouldn't pick up the dog shit after the argument about the dick sucking. But then one of the girls came back with her mom, okay? And this girl and her mother.
Sorry, well, we were joking so much. So it was teens who had the dog, maybe-ish?
Teens walking the dog and a lady, in front of Rebecca Lowe's garden.
There was a girl, okay.
In there was a girl in there with the teens. Shits out in front of the garden, probably on the sidewalk there. They get into the row about whomst dicks should be sucked.
And clits. Yes. Suck our dicks and clits.
Let's not get stuck here. Okay, we go.
and then the kids, you know, scamper off or whatever after the argument. But then one of the girls comes back with her mom. And this girl and her mother, they're neighbors of Rebecca's. They've already been charged with assault on Rebecca because they beat the shit out of her. You know, they have like CCTV over there in England. It's all on video. They like just beat the shit out of her, dragged her by her hair inside her own yard.
Did they shove her in the shit?
Yeah, you don't drag someone. If it's about dog shit, you don't drag someone unless the intent is to
pick it up with your mouth.
Make them eat shit.
Yeah. It said they dragged her inside her own yard, so I think they were threatening, you know, to drag her into the shit. But like probably didn't go all the way there because it anyways.
That would have been in the article.
It would have been kept there, right?
Yeah. Diverting right when they got there.
Yeah.
Threatening it. Wait. Ooh.
They may have made her smell it. I can't, you know, but I think they would have put it in there if she had made contact with the shit when she was being dragged by the assault.
Suck that shit's dick. Boom, stick. Yeah.
They said they finally settled the argument. The fight broke up, though. The girl and her mom left after beating the shit out of Rebecca when she was, you know, monitoring her front yard. But then the girl's boyfriend came back to taunt Rebecca.
Oh, my God. This poor lady.
They shit in her yard.
then
they kicked her ass. and then the boyfriend... Say, wait a minute, I want to get in on this.
This sounds awesome. Let's get her again.
Why didn't you call me earlier? I'm going back. I'm going to have to go back.
He's a kid, though.
They thought of a few more insults.
I love dragging. You dragged her?
They went home and thought of a few more insults, and they had to fire
her. You told her to suck your dick?
Yeah. He needed to get in.
You didn't have a dick. I have a dick. I'm going over there.
Yeah, exactly.
Also, he went alone. It speaks to me as a boyfriend who's insecure in his place with the young girl.
Right.
Because the young girl and the mother had just physically beaten Rebecca, senselessly, it sounds like.
That's a good point, Will.
Then the boyfriend is like, you know what? I'm going to go get in on this.
He had to do something to earn, like, supper.
Right. Yeah, he needed to show some value somehow to the crew here. So what he did was he went and hung out by Rebecca's front gate, taunting her about how she just got her ass kicked by his girlfriend and her mom. And then that's when, you know, Rebecca had enough. And she is a samurai sword woman at the end of the day. So she did what felt natural, what felt great to her, addicting almost, pulled out the handy dandy samurai sword. And threatened to kill the little punk right there where he stood, right at the front gate. And the kid, you know, claims he was so scared that he ran away from her house hyperventilating. And, you know, it turns out that Rebecca had been arrested for threatening a teen with a knife before, at least.
Maybe this is why they pick on her. Yeah.
And so, but because she got her ass kicked and she was the assault victim, she's off on just an anger management and knife safety course since, you know, she was... really the one that got her ass kicked.
Chapter one, don't cut kids with your knife. Well, I mean,
or threaten to. Right.
I mean,
the big two.
If you got a samurai, if you're packing samurai heat in your house, right? It's like, what, they came the first time and then they came the second time. I swear to Christ, you come back here again, I'll bust out my samurai two more times.
I'll get
the samurai sword out.
That's what happened. She also smelt the fear in that kid coming up there because he's a loser. And he went straight home to cry to the girlfriend and the mom who were badasses, not nice people, scumbag badasses. And he probably told her what happened, and she's like, "We're it's through." He got broken up with the second that story was revealed.
She probably saw that he didn't have any armor on.
Yeah.
It's embarrassing for the family. He definitely looks like the little, can I say a little kid is a little bee? A little.
Oh, yeah, he's a little, okay. Little bitch.
He's
yeah.
Unnamed. He looks like the little bitch of the situation.
Talking about bitch,
sure.
Brian?
The family is going to be
little bitch. You could never get his dick sucked by nobody, no matter no matter how much he
The rest
tries.
Of the family.
Yeah, he's the guy that's like, yeah, suck their dicks.
Yeah, right. Suck their dicks, not mine.
Yeah,
yeah, they handled business. He just sort of.
It's not ready yet.
Oh, no.
He claims he got hyperventilated scared in court. Anyways, a wild exchange over a little dog shit on the sidewalk in front of your house. And it feels like the Venn diagram of sword people and people who get in fights over dog shit has a huge overlap, probably, right? Also,
yes.
Maybe snake owners in there.
I think you start finding things that will happen to you to get mad at that you shouldn't when you own a samurai sword and stuff like that, because you want right. to have
you
the opportunity to unsheath it. Yeah.
Crossbows yeah. probably in there yeah. too. Anyways, like, that's the show.
Shit's so tight in England. Like, it's like tight quarters, and it looks like a, you know, like a, an apartment. Like, you got to have like 6 feet, 8 feet threshold doorway to fully unsheath a sword. I mean, you need a lot of space.
Yeah.
Right. People don't think about that, Pat, the training that's going to go into it, the area required. They should think a little bit harder if they're true swordsmen, swords people like Rebecca. She's shown her, you know, she's a bit of a novice, I think, you know.
Whom's yeah. sucking whose dick now?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Come on over with that little thing. Shh.
And that's the show. Thank you for listening to Hard Factor. As always, if you need more, go to patreon.com/hardfactor. We're about to go over there and tape the Let's Go podcast with extra O's right now. More O's than any other Let's Go podcast. And of course, it's about sports related stuff. So patreon.com/hardfactor if you need more. But most importantly, get out there and have yourselves a great fucking day.
See you later. Yeah.